Hey, morning, guys. It's always nice to be able to chit chat, and especially on a day after watching Romo do his thing last night. That was fun.
So I know Eastern time zone's a little rough on it, but did you get to see any of it?
I did. Actually, I made sure I stayed up because, one, I knew I was going to have this conversation today, and I didn't know if the video clips would do it justice. So I'm glad I watched it live, and it was cool. It was really cool to see.
I'd love to hear your reaction, just kind of from the moment he went out to the pen, to him warming up, to coming in, to the pitch clock violation.
Oh, dude, twice? You got him twice, man. What the hell?
Yeah, I mean, it was full of new things. You know, I was actually kind of wondering how they were going to do it, because Romo wasn't a giant when the mounds were out in center field.
Right.
So I was wondering if they were going to go ahead and quickly install one down the line and do the whole skit, because I think it's great to watch him do it. But you could see the excitement. You see the personality. It was great that they let a camera follow him out there. You kind of saw what we all saw. That personality is something that will always be that smile, the beard, all of it is what we had grown to love and know in Sergio's case. And to get down there and warm up and go through the whole thing, I thought it was really cool. I mean, the Giants are never really short on celebrations. I think they do a wonderful job honoring those who have really contributed to their organization. And Sergio got his just due, and it was fun to see. And, you know, I'm happy that he threw nothing but sliders, because that's exactly what he needed to throw, because that's what he's known for. You know, he didn't peek at the radar gun, because I'm not sure if he was breaking 80, 85, but it didn't matter.
No.
It didn't matter. It was right for the moment, and it was just a great, great closure for him, and I'm happy that he was able to do that in front of those fans who turned out.
Yeah, and we're talking to Javier Lopez, of course, who is mentioned in the Players Tribune article, which I'll ask you about in just a second. And I guess kind of by backing into that, by saying he had this moment at age 40, and in the Players Tribune article, and maybe you can speak to this, he wasn't this guy at age 25 when he came in. Like, this wasn't the heartfelt gratitude guy. He himself says in the piece that you say to him, hey, you're the guy on the mound getting those outs, right? And he said, yeah. And you said, same guy who's breaking curve, or the same guy who's late to meetings, and the same guy who's breaking, you know, dress code, and the same guy who's partying at bad hours. So, I mean, really revealing anecdote from Sergio, but to you, I mean, were you okay with him writing about that? And secondarily, how that guy you saw last night was not that kid that he talked about.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually blown away that he gave me a paragraph. I thought that was pretty amazing. You know, we had a lot of back and forth in our career, and it makes me feel old. And I like to say the Jim Carrey, like, although I'm old and dangerous behind the wheel, I still serve a purpose. So, you know, I'd like to know that that's the case. And it was great to have Romo really share that. Again, we've had that great brotherly back and forth, and it was always fun. But you know what? I always felt like you got to bring people to the mat, and you got to kind of show them what's going on, especially when he's got so much talent. He has so much ahead of him. You don't want to see people blow those opportunities, because oftentimes they don't come back. And sports and baseball in general, it's once you get a label, once you get a reputation, especially if it's more on the negative side, it's hard to continue to get a job. And when I had some great veterans teach me the way, and they always kind of went with that John Wooden, it's character versus reputation, and ultimately character is who you are, and reputation is who people think you are. And you wanted to have a good character. And sometimes you had to, like he said, I showed him the mirror, because he was so talented, so immensely talented, that you don't want to squander those opportunities. And he's always had a chip on his shoulder. We've known that. I think I'm sure he's had that interaction. I'm sure you guys have spoken to him enough to know that it's there. It will always be there. And it was just sometimes you had to just kind of keep him going in the right direction. But, man, I'm just so happy that I was able to make an impact for him, and that he's been able to kind of turn it later in his career, when he was with the Rays and Twins and even Miami with some of those young guys, and show them the way. It's really, really encouraging that he was able to do those things.
So good to hear, Javi. And just for people who missed it, I'll read it so people can hear it. He says, 2010 was big because it's the year we got Javier Lopez. Said, Javi, he's the teammate who really changed my career, who really pushed me to ask the right questions of myself. He'd be like, Sergio, is this you? Is this who you are? And I'd tell him, yeah, bro, this is me. Come on, I'm doing great, dominating out there. And Javi'd say, cool, you're right. But this is you, too, the guy who's late to meetings, who's out of the dress code, who's partying at bad hours. He kind of held that mirror up and showed me what it means to be a pro. And when I look at the career I went on to have, how I made it 15 years in a league where the average is like 3, it's because of the work I put in, sure, but I think it's just as much because of the people I met, people like Javi. So, like you said, you weren't expecting that, huh?
No, but I mean, I can I use that on a resume? Maybe I get a front office.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You put that like on a plaque outside your house. Yeah.
Heck yeah, you can. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but it's great to get, you know, to know as Waterboy played on the way in, thank you for being a friend. So, yeah. Hey, just a little bit on that pitch clock thing. I mean, listen, I understand they're trying to get ready.
You know what, though, Javi? Have this ump look the other way. What are we doing out here,
Javi,
man?
Isn't there a time? You just be a gentleman about it. You know what I mean?
We're all here to watch Sergio. I mean, you got to look the other way on the infractions. Come on.
Yeah, it made you wonder if they had a little bet going with the umpires. Like, if they were like, oh, is he going to call him on this? You know, and probably had just enough dollars on there where the guy had to do it. Maybe he was going to have to pay for dinner or something. But I've never seen two in a row. That was pretty incredible that he comes in and walks a guy on two pitches. I've never seen that. That was pretty cool.
Not only that, but I think if you're watching the play, the flare to left and the runner held. Looks like they threw to second for the force out and got him. But the ump thought it was a tag play and called him safe.
Yeah, there was a couple people asleep at the wheel. I'm not sure what was going on there, but I mean, it wasn't exactly the prettiest game.
No.
But I'm just happy they got it in. I'm happy the weather held out and he got his just due, and that was fun. And again, I wasn't sure if he was actually going to retire.
I heard you tell Papa.
I haven't seen him. I haven't seen him sign the papers yet.
Yeah, but, see? Yeah.
It was cool. It was cool. And, you know, it was an interesting moment to have Hunter come out because you could see the old Romo right there. He got ticked.
He did.
And that was it.
Like, yeah.
And poor people got to see it. And it doesn't matter that he's 40 years old. He still wants the ball. And I love that.
No, it was such a special moment. I thought it was really cool. I talked to Murph off the air about this, Javi, that, you know, when Hunter Pence went out there to get him, and it looked like Hunter was having some words for Sergio. And Sergio originally looked down and then he looked up and they locked eyes. I just thought that was a really cool moment. And it made me wonder, you know, listening to you talk, if you remember, you know, when you had your final. When you faced your final batter, did you know that was going to be your last go on the hill?
Yeah, kind of, yes. For me, unfortunately, my career ended on a walk in the disgusting game we don't like to talk about with the Cubs in the postseason in 2016. But I knew I wasn't going to be a Giant anymore. And so, and actually that's when the last time I was going to pitch with Sergio, we and Casilla, like we talked about where we're going to be, and we had talked with the front office and they were going to make their moves, get younger in the bullpen. And Apfel had retired the year prior. And so we were kind of sitting there and I sat back and, you know, during that whole second half of the season, after the trade deadline, Romo and I would just kind of like, this is it. This is our last ride together. And, you know, some things happened in that off season for me that kind of sealed the deal that I wasn't going to pitch anymore. But, you know, looking back on it, it's great that I went out on my terms in a sense that, you know, I came into the league with no fanfare and I left the league with no fanfare. And that's my personality. That's just kind of how I am.
Right.
And for him to be able to get acknowledged by the organization that took a chance on him in the 28th round. I mean, let's be honest, when you get drafted late in the draft, it's kind of you've taken flyers on a lot of those guys, and he took it as a personal mission to prove people wrong and really execute and make his way to the league, and he did it. And not only did he do it, he did it for 15 years and 800 plus games pitched. And you know, that's a lot of games for a guy whose elbow was going to fall off from day one.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is that, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Right.
That's so
right.
Good. Yeah, he says in this piece, I made a promise to Bobby Evans and Brian Sabin, who drafted me. They didn't waste their pick, and I wouldn't let them down. 28th round, they're like, did we even pick you? We don't remember. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, yeah.
And he did. Hey, Javi, it's great to have you. Sergio, story aside, it was awesome, and we'll talk more about it later with Mike Kruko. But just a quick, before we let you go, so you're Ross Stripling this morning, and you're going to get on a plane to New York, and you're – how hard are you flushing last night? Because, you know, this is a guy who has high hopes this year to have a good season. And I guess didn't count, right? Didn't count. He got his pitches in, but wasn't the outing he wanted. 11 hits, 9 runs. So what do you do if you're Ross Stripling? What's your strategy?
Yeah, I think you find the biggest toilet you can and you flush it. It's kind of interesting for me. Like, he pitches so well at Oracle. So that was kind of just a random thing to see. And, you know, maybe it wasn't the sequencing that he probably would have pitched in a game. It seemed like he was really, I think Sable was catching at the time. It's just a lot of fastballs up in the zone. The target was extremely high. So maybe that he was just trying to work on a few things, maybe work on a release point, getting used to that mound in particular. But like you mentioned, he got his work in, he came out healthy. And I think that's ultimately what you want. I mean, he's been around and he pitched in the gauntlet of the AL East, and he's been in the West, NL West. So he knows what it's going to take. And I think it's just one of those where you look back and you're like, yeah, it doesn't matter. Those don't end up on the baseball card. So, you know, you could look all the way down in recent history with Giants pitchers and even some of the best pitchers in the league. And you look at their spring training ERAs and you're like, and it didn't translate to the season. So. You're hoping that's the case, and he got his pitch count up, and I think the Giants should be excited to go to New York and opening up against the Yankees. I mean, that's a special place to go kick off a season, and hopefully the weather holds out in New York, and they're able to make some headway early in the season.
Right, for sure. By the way, so Stripling's on the plane, and Bailey comes by and says, "Hey, I want to talk to you about last night." And Stripling goes, "What do you mean? I don't know what you're talking about." Walking, Bales. Exactly. Keep walking.
Yeah, what happened? Yeah. Are you talking about Romo? Yeah. Let's talk about that.
Hey, just a couple of guys who did come in, Taylor Rogers and Camilo Doval. I mean, if we're going to, like, you know, shine a light on a bout outing, these guys put up zeros. And last night, I'm just wondering for you as a guy, you know, you're looking at the bullpen, and Taylor Rogers, obviously a lefty like you. And then Doval, who's growing up now, you know, 2 years ago, they gave him the ball in the ninth inning of game 5 against the Dodgers, and he hit a guy and a couple ground balls. And just kind of wondering your thought as the back end of that bullpen. What are you seeing?
Well, I like that they've added options. I think you've got guys that have experience closing, and that's going to be important. The Giants traditionally don't blow teams out. It's always going to be a tight ball game. It's always going to be pitching and defense in San Francisco. And I think, when it gets down to it, when you get down to that back end of the bullpen, you're always looking for some secondary lefty help. And I think Alexander's got some tremendous stuff. I think he's been throwing the ball extremely well. And the Rogers brothers should complement each other extremely well as well. It's kind of funny that you're starting to see some different angles again that all across baseball. But I know in particular with Affelt and Casilla and Romo and myself that we never had the same look. And I think you're kind of starting to see that with the Giants as well. Even Camilo Doval has that low 3/4 release. And so it kind of just sets up well to give different looks to these teams as you face them multiple times. And I'm excited for it. I think, again, it's for the question mark for me has always been the bridge guy who's going to get the ball to that back end. And I think that's where April you'll kind of figure out, because these starters aren't going to go extremely long into ball games. And I'd like to see who that bridge guy is, because the back end arms are pretty good.
And then, Javi, I need to know your schedule. When are we going to see you on the road, or what broadcast schedule do you have?
Well, after I do these managerial and front office interviews after that great article, I go mid-April. I believe it's Detroit, Miami will be the first one I go to. And then I I get to join the team down in Mexico City, San Diego, and Houston at the end of the month,
awesome.
End of April. So,
nice.
So it'll be a fun time. I'm excited. It'll be fun to get the team early and kind of get a gauge, because that's what April's for. You kind of gauge where you're at, and in May you start deciding what kind of team you are. June you figure out who your trade targets are, and you move from there.
So you're just 2 weeks. I mean, they open on Thursday, and then 2 weeks from Thursday you'll be in. They open in Detroit that Friday. That's
correct.
Your first broadcast then, huh? With Kuiper?
Yeah. I told him I really wanted to go to some warm weather places.
Yeah, I know.
And they
Detroit.
Said, we got you.
Yeah. Detroit in mid-April. It'll still be winter, Javi. It'll still be winter.
Fantastic. Yeah. we'll be playing pond hockey and then a little baseball game at night.
That's man, double dip. By the way, a listener wrote in, and he's right to ask me. He said, before we let you go, did you see the JT Realmuto ejection yesterday?
I did. Yeah, I did.
Is there any way to explain that?
I'd like to say I'm hoping that JT did that on purpose and he straight-faced the heck out of that whole thing, because I thought it was hilarious, because Kimbrel didn't get a call to pitch before, and I don't know, you know, I don't know what's going on there, but man, that's embarrassing, isn't it? When you toss a guy for that, and then you, as the umpire, you have to explain it. Well, he pulled his glove away.
Yeah.
That's your defense. Like that's not a good look. But it's funny. It's a good way to end it. But yeah, I thought it was pretty enjoyable. I mean, to be fair, I mean, these umpires have a lot on their plate this year, and you know, maybe they're running a little hot right now, but goodness gracious, to toss a guy for just dropping his glove. He's not even looking at you. So
if you go back and look at the footage, you can see sort of the hair trigger temper in the ump where he just kind of snaps, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I'm telling you, I think that was Kimbrel being on the mound. I think there must've been something going there. I didn't watch the whole spring training.
Yeah, there was maybe something revving there, but you're right. If Realmuto was deadpanning it, like Bob Newhart would be proud. You know what I mean? That was a pretty good deadpan.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. That was awesome.
Something out of The Office.
Good theater.
Oh man.
Yeah.
All right. Good theater. Always a great conversation. Can't wait for your broadcast, Javi, and thanks for sharing some thoughts,
Javi.
Guys, appreciate you, and anytime.
See you, man.
Javier Lopez. Probably that's just a gentleman's gentleman.
Well, you know
right
what
there.
I've said, too. I know he's busy with all these accolades from Sergio and the Players Tribune and all this. I always had him in line, too. I got a casting call out for the new James Bond, and I got him as a candidate.
In the casting room.
I see him in the tux.
You know, you come in for a read.
Yeah,
you walk in the waiting room, and there's your competition is there.
Well, Murph, I've been talking about this for years, and you know my other guy.
There's Marcus Allen.
Well, that's after
right
I saw him at the symphony.
Allen and Javi just sitting in the room with their scripts.
Either one of those two guys will do fine.
Well, one's got to get it.
Yeah. Well, right. But if
who are you giving it to?
Well, I got to see the auditions first. Let's roll some tape. See, Marcus, read the script. Yeah.
Screen test, right? Yeah.
Tell me you couldn't see him, though, with a martini in one hand and his Luger in the other,
are you
know?
Kidding me?
Yeah, or whatever James Bond used. I don't know if there's a Luger. I don't know anything about guns. I don't know.
I mean, it's 100%.
Yeah, yeah. 100%. Solving crimes.
Plus, his dad was in the FBI.
Right. I see Javi driving fast sports cars, saving damsels in distress, if I may, stuff like that.
Do I even go there and say, does Javi, you know, on his Rolodex, is Pussy Galore on the Rolodex?
Well, not only that, but let's be honest, the ladies do love Javi. This is a true story. All the ladies I know love Javi.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Big time. All right, guys, that was fun, and that was a great, great remembrance.
Okay.
Of Sergio's night and what the Giants have laying ahead.
You got to get back into your lunch yesterday, too. I feel like you got more stuff in there
we need to hear.
Yeah.
Plus, we got to talk about that scoreboard watching for the Warriors last night. A little tough. And then the Niners are back in the news. Kyle spoke last night, too.
Yeah.
So we'll get into all that next on the Sports.
You find the biggest toilet you can and you flush it.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing to say.
Congratulations.
Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
me. Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.